Welcome back. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Curtis.
And this is Partners in Crime.
Are you kidding me?
Well, welcome back to episode number 11. That was supposed to go out on Friday, but Curtis is not punctual, so I apologize for my husband's delay.
I hope you know that I really can't stand you.
Why?
Everybody knows I'm on time to everything and you're the late one.
That's not true.
Then why do I show up to all of my streams, but you can't show up to all of your podcasts?
I show up. I just show up late.
Exactly. Thank you for admitting it.
Anyway, so this is going to be part one of two, maybe three, maybe 10. I don't know how many parts. It's a long one.
I think 10 would be extensive.
If it was going to be 10, I would say we're going to branch off to a mini-series on just this case.
That's crazy.
Probably could branch off into a mini-series on just this case alone. But we're not going to do that.
How interesting. I feel like this is going to be like some serial clown killer or something.
Like John Wayne Gacy?
Don't know who that is.
Are you serious?
I mean, I've heard you say his name before, but I don't know who that is.
We'll cover him at some point. He was a nasty man.
They usually are.
Yeah, I feel like he was an extra layer of nasty, though. Ugh. Anyways. Okay, so this we are going to be covering today, Ariel Castro. You know who that is?
No.
Have you ever heard of Michelle Knight? Because that's who we're talking about mainly today. Today's case, we're not even getting super far into the case itself, but Michelle's life before she was abducted and what kind of led to her getting abducted.
So just out of curiosity, do you know when you're going to cut these off into segments? Like, do you have a spot where you're going to stop?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering. So, you know, we can save the best part for last, the conspiracy theory
corner. Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. So this one, I mean,
shout out to Darius.
Yeah, Darius.
He stopped me at work this week to let me know that he appreciated
the
conspiracy corner.
He was lying to you.
He said it was the best part. I agree.
He said that to your face. He says that my part's the best part to my face.
I don't believe you.
He actually didn't. He said you're... Anyways.
Yeah, there we go.
So let's just get right into this because I don't have time for your games today. So.
Well, that's why we put the conspiracy corner at the end so people stay until the end. That's why we don't start off with it.
Too bad we're not in the conspiracy corner category on the podcast category. We're on true crime.
I don't know what any of that means, but okay.
Anyway, so Michelle Knight was born on April 23rd, 1981 in Cleveland, Ohio. She lived with her mother. I believe she lived with her father as well because later on they split up. So yeah, so I'm assuming. I just don't know what his name is. Her twin brothers, Eddie and Freddie, and her grandma, Deborah. I know. Here we go.
Their names are great. Do you think it could be like Edward and Fredward? There was actually supposed to be a third son and their name was Squidward.
Okay. Anyway, so Michelle grew up very poor. She had dreams of being a firefighter one day, but then she decided that she'd rather be a veterinarian. Michelle was very tiny for her age. She was only like at adult size, like full grown. She was,
wow,
4'7", and her name.
Oh, when you described that, I thought you were gonna say she was like a midget.
No, like
or sorry, like a dwarf. I feel like no, midget might be offensive.
Neither was she. Her nickname was Shorty. That's what her family called her because she was so little, tiny. Her home life was chaotic. Family members were constantly moving in and out. And unfortunately, when you have people moving in and out of your house, they're bouncing from bedroom to bedroom. Creepy uncle, or in this case,
someone. Ew, you're making my stomach turn.
I don't know if it was our uncle. It just says a family member. I said uncle because it, you know, just the creepy uncle fit, like, persona.
Did you have a creepy uncle? Because I've never heard this persona before.
No, but I've heard it a lot. Not personally, no. But I've heard it in a lot of different cases that, like, oh, it was my uncle or oh, it was my
ew,
whatever. So a family member, not specified who this family member was to her, began sexually abusing her at 5 years old. Yeah.
Ew, well, you were just talking about her being an adult, so that makes it even worse.
Well, yeah. I'm saying like as a kid she was small, but as an adult she was also small. So that makes it even more worse, honestly, in my opinion, because she's very, very tiny. So she was told to keep it a secret, and if she told anybody, he was going to kill her, is what he would tell her. So she started, like, switching rooms and just, like, going into different rooms to just, like, avoid this guy, and he would just always end up in there with her.
Ew.
Apparently nobody knew, but...
You think that they would, like, start to wonder why she was going to different rooms?
Well... Right.
Like, if my kid wasn't sleeping in their bedroom one night, I would think it's weird.
I don't think she had an assigned bedroom. There was, like, 15 people living in her house.
Oh.
Like I said, it was chaos. So, she wasn't in school a lot. She spent a lot of time, like, babysitting, basically, all of her siblings and cousins that lived with her. So, she just had, I mean, no structure, really, when it came to, like, going to school. She was bullied.
Was she the oldest?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering, because if she's the smallest, like, why is she watching these kids?
Because I think she was the oldest. She wasn't the oldest cousin, but she was the oldest cousin in the house.
Okay.
So she was bullied in school. She got, like, for an array of things that were out of her control. Like, she was little, tiny, anyways. She had self-esteem issues. There was really no escape. Like, she got made fun of at school. She came home and got sexually abused by a family member.
That's sad.
Yeah, so it's basically just life really sucks for her, and I think that's sad. She had one teacher who took a special interest in her in a good way.
Yeah, you were making me like wonder about that.
She told her that she had a gift in drawing, and she loved to draw, and she was really good at it. So as her escape, she would just keep a pencil and notebook with her, and she would just always be writing or drawing, because that was the one thing she could have control over. So sad. Honestly, that's so sad.
I feel like you're going to tell me she uses pencil in, like, self-defense.
No.
And then drew a picture with the blood. I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, some of these crimes are just insane.
I'm aware. So, no. She's a victim. During the day, if she wasn't in school, she'd be, the babysitter to her siblings and cousins. And she would do their hair, change their diapers. They'd watch TV. They would, like, play games. They'd make each other laugh. She liked hanging out with her older cousin. Like I said, she wasn't the oldest cousin, but her older cousin April had a part-time job, and she would, like, occasionally take her out to go shopping and, like, buy her something, or give her hand-me-down clothes that were nicer than what she was wearing.
Oh, that's nice.
Or take her out to eat, and she, like, really liked getting french fries from Arby's, which, same. I really like Arby's french fries.
I think a lot of people do, because they're curly.
Well, they're, like, seasoned, too. So.
Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
Sorry, this is an interjection. So, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, the Arby's by our house? I was going to say where it was, and then I realized I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they redesigned their entire place, and I don't know if you know this, but Chick-fil-A does this as well. I don't know how many other restaurants, but when they open up a new restaurant, and you're one of the first so many people, they actually give you free food for a year. So I actually stood outside this Arby's and got one of the cards, and I got free Arby's for a whole year.
Did you eat there?
Yeah, it was only once a week. Oh. They tell you it's for the whole year, but it's only once a week you're allowed to use it.
So it's basically 52 free meals.
Yeah, and I got almost all 52. I would literally just go to get Arby's, because why would you not? It's free.
It's for free, yeah.
And Arby's has the meat.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they have.
I don't like Arby's meat. I don't care. Nobody says. I don't care if they.
I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Arby's meat.
You didn't hear about the lady who shaved a piece of her finger off into the roast beef?
Are you talking about at Wendy's when they had the chili with the finger?
No, it happened at Arby's. It was a chunk of finger. Like, she was shaving the roast beef, and it, like, sliced her finger, and she was like, it doesn't matter.
Was it true, though? Because you remember Wendy's when they had
Wendy's
the chili?
Yeah, wasn't true, but...
Okay, I didn't know if you knew that.
I don't even think it was the one by our house, but it was an Arby's somewhere.
That's gross.
Anyways... Moving on. When she was 11, she started her period, and she didn't even know it was a period because she had been bleeding since she was 5. What?
That's just gross. They even think people are so weird. I don't understand, like, people's obsessions with kids. Like, let them be kids.
I know. Seriously.
That just made me feel so sick. Like, she didn't even know there was a difference because she had been bleeding this whole time.
That's why I'm pointing it out. Like, she didn't even know what a period was.
I know, I'm just saying that's disgusting.
By the time she was 15, she only weighed 17 pounds, or 75 pounds, I'm sorry. I was going to say 17 wow. pounds. That's, like, very small. Like, just put it in perspective, Bella weighs 98 pounds.
Right.
And Bella is very tiny. So, Bella is our daughter, by the way. So, one night before Thanksgiving, she slipped some sleeping pills in the specific family member's drink. And he passed out drinking bourbon and watching porn. She got out of there by hiding a purple bag in her twin brother's room, like earlier that day. And she went in and grabbed the bag, and she had no coat. She grabbed her pencils and her notebooks, and she went into the bathroom, and she cracked the window open and jumped out the window. And they lived in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right, not a good area.
In November. It's free.
Oh, yeah.
She had no coat. So that was more comforting to be freezing than in her house where she's getting raped, like, weekly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd imagine.
Whatever, however often it was happening. this is when she was 15. She camped out under a bridge. And so eventually she stole somebody's, like, empty garbage container.
Uh-huh.
Because she was so small that she could fit inside of it and it would block out all the wind and stuff. She just slept in a garbage
Please container. Tell me she does not go on the back of a garbage truck and die.
No.
Oh my gosh.
She was underneath
that a That made me so worried. So?
She was by herself.
That's terrifying.
So she was there for about a week, and then a tall man approached her asking her what she was doing with no coat on. He held out his hand and opened the door. He held out his hand and walked her to the church where he worked, and he opened the door and invited her in to eat. There was, so it was Thanksgiving Day at this point. And she didn't even know it was Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's sweet. She that he, like, that he offered.
She hasn't ate in a week. That's all she knew. And so she ate, like, plate after plate after
oh,
plate.
Oh, I'm sure.
She said she couldn't even button her pants after she was done eating. And after that, the man, his name was Arsenio, I want to say is how you say it. I might be messing that up. But he was like, you know what? Like, you look cold. We have a lost and found down here. I'm sure we have a coat that would fit you. Gave her a coat. And somebody else that was, like, in charge of cooking, they announced, like, every weeknight they're going to have a free meal at 5 p.m.
Dude, I love this church. That's great.
I know. Yeah, that's...
I'm glad she was able to find that.
Yeah, me too. So she would go back every single weeknight and eat, obviously. And eventually she started going on Sundays and she joined the choir.
Oh, that's, like,
and it was, like, genuine. Like, she was homeless, but, like, she was so happy until, like, she felt safe and she felt... included, and finally, oh, and also he did give her a bag of, like, toiletries.
Well, that's great.
And she would, like, low-key shower in the bathrooms on Sundays. And I think that everybody knew she was doing it, and nobody stopped. Like, nobody said anything. They just kind of protected that they wouldn't, like, go in there when she was in there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, super, super nice. So this went on for a few weeks, and then one night a man, like, it was a little after midnight, and this other guy came up to her garbage thing, and he was like, hey, creepy, right, in the middle of the night.
Right.
And he's like, you know, you look like you need some money. And she's like, yeah, you can probably just get out of here. And she picked up a baseball bat, and she was about to smoke him with it, and he's like, no, don't swing, I'm not gonna hurt you. And his name was Sniper. And he's like...
Sniper?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, you look like you need money. I need a runner. And, you know, we can look out for each other. And so she was like...
Like a drug runner?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, because he ran weed and Molly.
Okay. I guess.
Anyways, so she was like, well, I do need money, and at this point, what does she have to lose? So
right.
She was like, yeah, I guess that sounds good. So she gets in the car with him, and he takes her back to his house, which, super sketchy. But after everything she's been through, she's probably like, well, it's the worst that can happen, you know? So She gets back to his house. His house is super nice. There's another guy in the house. His name is Roderick. And basically they somehow form like this alliance, and he gives her money. She can buy herself clothes. She buys herself like stuff to get like stay clean. She is very tiny. She looks like a little kid. Right. So she's unsuspecting.
Right. The cops aren't going to.
Perfect Stop person her. For this, right? So they all kind of have each other's back, and basically it's going great for a while. And then Sniper gets busted by the cops.
Uh-oh.
So her and Roderick kind of just take off, and Michelle's like, I have a place. This is where I was staying before he picked me up. So they go, and they stay under the bridge. And basically she's like, you know, we can share whatever.
The drug dealer's with her too? Or like the drug lord?
No, he wasn't a drug lord. He was just a runner, but he needed runners to run.
Like, but he didn't have like a house to live in?
He did. The other guy that was there.
Oh, okay.
That was like in her position as well.
So it was Roderick's house.
It was Sniper's house.
But Sniper didn't get caught.
Sniper got caught by the cops.
Oh, you said Roderick.
No, her. Oh, well, her and Roderick left.
Okay.
So she takes him under the bridge. They stay there. And she's like, all right, like, this is the church that I've been going to. Let me show you it, basically. Like, they're really super nice people there. So they were on their way to the church when someone that was friends with her parents seen her.
Uh-oh.
Like, they made eye contact. So she was like, oh, crap.
Right.
You know, like, here's my parents' friend. They're going to come find me now.
Exactly.
So so her dad shows up and basically drags her into the car and takes her home. And which, honestly, if I was like someone's parent, I would do the same thing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I am someone's parent, but if my kid was out, I mean, I wouldn't let them live in the condition she was living in, though. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, why would you?
Right. So when she got home, she went back. She had to go back to school. She was supposed to be in seventh grade. And she was like 16 at this point. She was supposed to be in seventh grade.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, because I swear you just said she was 15.
Yeah. So she took a test, and they placed her in ninth grade. And at home, the abusive relative was still living there, along with 14 other family members, in one, like, I don't know how big the house was, but they were in one house.
That is some chaos.
And the abuse started back up. He was raping her multiple times a week now. For the next 2 years. And she even says, like, in her book, which, by the way, I'm going to link the book, because that's where I got a lot of, well, that's where I got all of the information from, was the book. It's a really good book.
What's the book title?
Finding Me.
Okay.
Yeah, really good book. I'm going to link it in the show notes.
But, I was going to say, we could shout her out, too, for her book.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, just because this is the type of family that she came from, so, like, there's three of them in total that got abducted by this guy. And her story is just not really told. So,
that's what interesting.
That's why I'm telling it from her point of view first. So, she even says in her book, though, like, she's surprised she never ended up pregnant by this guy.
Like her uncle?
Yeah. I don't think it was her uncle. It was just a family member. Could have been her uncle. Could have been her cousin.
I'm just saying uncle because that's what you said he was.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said it was like a creepy uncle.
Oh. So,
she started talking to a boy at school, and she doesn't like say his name or anything like that. So, and I'll tell you why. But she starts talking to him. They began cutting class together. They talked all the time, and he like showed a genuine interest in her.
Okay.
And it was the first time that she actually felt like somebody loved her. Like,
that's sad.
In love with her.
Yeah.
So they fell in love, things escalated, and Michelle ended up pregnant.
Wow.
And it turns out that this boy had a girlfriend.
What?
Yes. So another betrayal, another slap in her face, another thing that went wrong.
So, okay.
She's literally had, like, the worst hand dealt to her.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It is. It's awful. It's very sad. Like, I feel like it's one thing after another. But even though she was devastated, she's like, I'm keeping the baby because this is my baby. Like,
right.
I'm pregnant. So, she named him Joseph and she called him Joey. She loved being his mom. She loved having him. She, once she turned 18, she would get social security checks and stuff. And so for Christmas, she put up a Christmas tree, like a small, cheap little Christmas tree.
Right.
And she would get him, like, really, like, inexpensive gifts, and he was so excited about it. Just, like, she'd just go to Family Dollar.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's a thought, really. So,
she, yeah, and he's
she
little.
Really loved being a mom. So,
yeah. It's all about kids loving you. Oh, look at you getting all emotional.
Oh, it's about to get sad. So.
Oh, don't tell me something happens to the boy.
Okay, so,
why do you have to do this? After you said that we weren't going to have any child cases.
Her parents split up. Like, Michelle's parents split up. And her mom starts dating this guy named Carlos.
Okay.
Okay, so her mom and Carlos would babysit while she had a job because she had to get a job to make more money for Joey. So she gets home, and her son was super excited to come see her, and she realizes that Carlos is watching him, but he's drunk. And she's like, what's going on? So her son gets, like, freaked out and, like, tries to start running for her, but Carlos grabs him by the leg and, like, yanks him up, and it fractures his knee.
What?
Yeah, so she has to take him to the hospital, and she makes up a story saying that, like, he fell at the park because she was
oh,
so
no
scary.
Way. I'd be throwing Carlos under that bus.
But that's where she lived.
I don't care.
She couldn't do that either. So she told the hospital that he fell at the park. And so everything was fine. He was getting treated. Carlos and Carlos's sister called the hospital and admit to everything that happened. Like, they're the ones that did it. And now she lied to them.
What? So now CPS is getting involved.
Social services came and let her know that they were taking custody of
her. Oh my gosh, no.
And she was devastated.
Yeah, this is worst hand possible.
The nurse said, you can stay one more night with him, but then tomorrow morning you have to go. So she would go, she went in there, and she called him her little huggy bear. Oh my gosh, it makes me so sad, because he was 2 at this time.
Right.
And he knew, like, that was his mom. Like, is he, like, he had been with her every day for the first 2 years of his life. So she was like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, hopefully his foster family's nice to him. Hopefully he's treated well. Like, is he going to want me at night? Like, is he going to call out
for right.
me? Like, she's devastated.
Well, how could you not be?
Right. So she was determined to get her son back. She had no car. She had no job now. She was literally, she had nothing. Her son was taken away from her. And she was just basically going to do whatever she could to get her son back. So the first thing she did was get out of that house. And she started renting a place for $300 a month. And she's like, I don't even know how I'm going to pay this, but, like, I'll deal with it when it comes, and we'll go from there. And she would hang out with one of her cousins named Deanna. And Deanna introduced her to a girl named Emily Castro, and they spent many evenings hanging out together, getting her mind off of not having Joey. Emily would talk about her dad, Ariel, and how he was a bus driver, and how he and her mom split up, and Emily called her dad AC. She would call her dad, and they'd be joking around on the phone, and basically, like, it was just all, like, she's like, well, your dad sounds like he's super nice, you know?
Right.
Whatever. So now we're coming up to August 23rd, 2002. Okay.
Okay.
That's where it gets real, real sad and real serious.
Well, I'm already sad about little Joey, so.
Everything. Okay. So just to backtrack a little bit before we go to this date, all of the court appointments she showed up to, she would have to walk there, and she didn't know where she was
going.
She
didn't have a car.
And so a lot of the time she would be late, and they were like, just so you know, every time you're late, we hold this against you, blah, blah, blah. Like, they do not want to help you get your kids back.
Well, no.
So it's just a broken system, honestly.
Not just that. I mean, they're also seeing it from a different perspective. Like, she lied about her kid's injury when she should have thrown Carlos under the bus, because she should have.
I get that. But I also get why she didn't, because if she did that, then her and her son would be homeless.
I mean, I guess it depends on the time frames, because you have to think about, too, like, if there's anybody listening to this and you're struggling, there's women's shelters in every city across the U.S.
About the episode we just did, the guy came to the women's shelter and took her back with the kids.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so it's not just that simple to say. Like, so anyway, she was proving herself to be a fit parent. And so much so that on August 23rd, 2002, her appointment to start the process of getting custody back, like, they were like, okay, you can have him back. We're going to start this process. Your appointment's at 2:30 on the 23rd. And she's like, okay, cool. And they were like, we can give you a ride. And Michelle was like, nope, my family member said that they were going to take me and I don't need a ride, but thank you. Because, you know, they look down on you too if you're accepting a ride. Like, you can't even get here. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would think that's some helping out because she's already, like, proving that she can't make it.
Yeah. So she turns the ride down anyways. The appointment was at 2:30, and at 11 a.m., the ride was like, yeah, actually, I can't take you today.
Oh, my gosh. Of all the things.
I know. So this is the appointment to literally get her son back. And she was like, great. So.
Yeah, now what am I going to do?
Her cousin Deanna was home, and she's like, do you want to walk with me to find this place? I don't even know where it's at. And Deanna was like, yeah, I'll try to help you find it. So they start walking together, and at 1:30, she calls social services and tells them, like, hey, I'm trying to find the address. Like, this is where I'm at. Can you help me, like, get directions to get there? I don't know where I'm going. I've never been there before. I'm walking. I'm trying to get there in time. I know I'm going to be late. And they're like, well, you should have took the ride. And she's like, okay, but that's not the point now. The point is that I'm trying to get there and I'm walking and I don't know where I'm going.
Right. And they're just saying it as irresponsible because she had a ride and she said
they offered her a ride. Yeah.
And I get that.
I do too.
I mean, it's sad.
At the same time, I'm like, well, she's literally explaining what happened. But so at 1:30, she's like, you know what, Deanna, just go home. I'll just try to find it on my own. Like, it's fine.
Oh, boy.
And it was August, so it was hot. So by 2:30, she still couldn't find it. She kept getting turned around. She ended up walking into the Family Dollar, the same one where she bought Joey's Christmas presents, by the way. And she was asking the cashier for directions. As she was asking the cashier, a man spoke up saying, hey, I know where that's at and I can take you. She turned around and she seen the voice of the man was coming from her friend Emily's dad, Ariel Castro, or AC, as
Emily would
call him. So he was like, I can take you there. Like, I can get you there in like a couple minutes. Like, it's no big deal. So at this point, she's running out of options. So she's like, you know, I guess I'll take her.
Right.
Because
Ariel said her dad was, like, real cool.
Yeah, and they were always joking around and stuff. Right. And, you know, whatever. So she's like, can we just call Emily and just let her know, just so she's not mad that I'm, like, taking a ride with you and stuff? And he's like, no, she's at school. Like, we're not going to bother her at school. Like, it's not a big deal. You know who I am. And she's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. So they walk over across the parking lot to his orange Chevy four-door truck. And he lets her in the passenger side, and the truck is so freaking nasty. It's got, like, McDonald's wrappers everywhere, like.
Well, I know she cares because the ride's a ride.
Empty, but right. And she's like, well, I'm not going to be, like, rude. I'm going to be polite. And he's like, oh, sorry for the car. You know, I'm a bachelor, da-da-da. Me and my wife just separated.
Oh, gosh.
And she's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just grateful for the ride. You know, like, I'm really excited to get my son back because. And as they're driving, like, she's explaining to him what's going on with right. that. You know, like, this is the appointment to get my son back. Like, I'm really excited. And he's like, oh, cool. That's really cool. I really hope you get the ride back. He's like, you know, Emily will be home from school soon. And maybe I could give you guys some money and you guys could go to the mall or something after your appointment, of course. And she's like, okay, like, I guess, but that's not
right. That seems
I'm really
like
excited
cool.
to get my son back, you know, like, that's right. what she's thinking about. And so they start driving in the opposite direction of the appointment, and she was like, okay, where are we going? Because I have to go to, I'm already late, like, I need to go to that appointment right now. Like, every minute I'm late, they use it against me. And he's like, I just have to stop at home, like, I have to let my dogs out. My dog just had puppies, and we just have to stop at my house really fast. It's going to be like 2 seconds. I promise. Like, we'll be going right back out on the road.
How sketchy.
And she was like getting red flags because she was like, okay.
Right. Like, him and his wife just separated. So, she can't call Emily or Ariel.
So,
Sorry if you can hear that in the background. It's actually, so like we always hear, have like just a sidebar. We always get feedback that people can hear kids talking while we are recording. And there's never any kids down here when we are recording, just for the record. But if you heard that yelling, it's our daughter upstairs.
Sorry
about that. So anyways, they pull into his driveway and he gets out and he locks the gate behind them, like behind the truck. And she's like, why are you closing and locking the gate? Like, I thought you said we were going to be here for a second. And he's like, yeah, it's a bad neighborhood, so just to be safe than sorry. And she's like, okay. So he's like, just wait here, I'll be right back out. So he goes inside, comes, and the dog, like his dog is chained up outside. And she's like, why is your dog? I thought she just had puppies. And he's like, yeah, but she has to go out, she pees in the house. And he's like, it's fine, the puppies are upstairs, like it's fine. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I don't know why you didn't like house train her, but you got her pregnant. That doesn't make sense.
Right. And like, why couldn't you have just dropped her off like right away?
Right.
And then taking care of your puppies.
Well, so he comes back outside and he's like, you know, you want to just come in for a second? Like, you said you have a son, right? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, how didn't you come pick out a puppy for him? I'm sure that he would love to come home to a puppy. And she's like, yeah. Like, she started thinking about it. And she was like, that would be so cool to like give my son a puppy the day he comes home. Like, that would be
right.
Like, he would be excited. He loves dogs. And so she's like, okay, like, I'll come in. He's like, and Emily's inside too. She just got home from school like a few minutes ago. And she's like, oh, okay. So she's immediately feeling better about it. She's like,
right, because now her friend's in the house.
So they walk in. The house is gross. It smells like pee, like stale beer. It's like cigarettes, McDonald's wrappers all over the floor. Like, this guy doesn't clean, doesn't even use a trash can.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, so she's like, where's Emily at? And he's like, well, she's downstairs starting a load of laundry, but the puppies are up here upstairs. And he's pointing and she's like, I'm not going up there. And he's like, well, stop being so weird. Like, Emily is literally right downstairs. Like, she'll be up there in just a minute. I told her we were going up. And she's like, okay, maybe I'm overreacting, but like, no, seriously, trust your instincts. If that happens to you, trust your instincts. If it doesn't feel right, it doesn't matter. It's better to be rude than dead. That's all I got to say.
All right.
So she goes up the stairs with him, and as they're walking up, she's like, I don't hear the puppies. Like, they're normally like yippy and loud, you know?
Right.
And he's like, well, they're probably sleeping. Like, most of the day they sleep. And she's like, okay, well, like, I don't have a dog, so maybe you're right. And they get up to the room and he points over to like the dresser and he's like, they're right next to that dresser in the box. And so she walks in and he walks in behind her. And as soon as she looks into the empty box, she hears the door slam behind her. And she immediately starts crying. Please let me out. Please let me go home. I need to get to my appointment. I'm trying to get my son back. Like, please don't do this. And he's like, well, he basically immediately attacks her. He grabs her hands, pulls them behind her back, throws her on the ground. Like, he's on top of her. And he grabs these electrical cords, like the orange, you know what I'm talking about? Like the long orange extension cords. And he starts tying her, or like tying them around her feet. And then he ties them up her legs, ties her hands, and then ties it around her body.
This girl cannot catch a break.
I know. Ties them around her body all the way up her neck. And she's just laying there helpless. And so for this next part, I'm just going to say trigger warning for the rest of the episode. If you are not comfortable listening to sexual assault, please stop listening now.
I'm going to stop listening.
You can't.
Oh, boy.
The rest of the episode is much more graphic than our regular content. It's necessary to be told so that you understand the gravity of what happened for her story. So I'm just gonna keep rambling until you guys have a chance to skip or close it or whatever. And it's been a couple seconds. You think it's good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so, I don't really want to hear it, but
she's tied up basically from head to toe, laying on the ground. scared, crying. She's like spitting all over herself because she's trying not to throw up because she's so scared. Right. Now. Her heart's literally beating out of her chest.
Well, yeah, she just got tied up with an electrical cord.
He yanks his pants down and masturbates.
What?
Her eyes are completely shut. She has no idea what's going on. So she opens her eyes and sees what he's doing and is mortified. But like, he's not raping her, so.
Right.
She's like, okay. So she begins praying while he, like, and this is after he's done. So she just begins praying out loud and he just keeps screaming at her to be quiet. And she just keeps praying. She's like, and he finally just smacks her so hard that she just stops talking because she doesn't even know, like, how to even respond. He hangs her up on, like, two, like, there's two poles and he basically suspends the cords. She's just, like, laying.
Okay. Or,
like, suspended in the air. He gagged her. He covered her mouth with, gagged her with a dirty sock and covered her mouth with duct tape. And, like, he wrapped the duct tape around her head. So, like, it's all, you know.
And
her
this is even worse because of what you said it smells like. And he just put a dirty sock in her mouth.
I know. This case is so bad. So, he turns the radio up like full blast and he's like, I'm going to go get food because we need to eat. And he left. And she's just suspended between two poles. Like tied up. She can't.
I'm imagining like a little, like, you know, when you see the people like in Hawaii, like eating over a fire and they have the pig on like the two bars and it's spinning.
I don't think that's it's I'm imagining like that, it. But that's what I imagine too. So a day and a half later, he comes back.
Wow.
Yep, that long. He brought her a McDonald's sandwich and he dropped her down from the suspension. Not like gently, he just like lets it go and she just hits the floor. And mind you, she's been tied up tightly and hanging for a day and a half. She has no feeling.
Right, she hasn't gone to the bathroom like on herself, I'm sure.
She ends up like peeing her pants a couple times. She's hanging there for a day and a half. Like, she's not a choice. So he tried to, like, he took the duct tape and stuff off of her mouth and it, like, ripped part of her hair off. Because, like I said, it was all the way around her head. So she was, like, screaming because obviously, like, that hurt. And he tries to get her to eat this McDonald's, like, breakfast sandwich. And she won't eat it. She's like, no, I'm not eating that. Like, you're crazy. I'm not eating that. So that's when he drops her from the suspension because he's just getting mad. So he picked her up, like, swung her over her shoulder, picked her up. She's small. She's 4'7". She weighs 75 pounds. Like, she's tiny.
Right.
He took her to another room, and for the next hour, he raped her multiple times.
Ew.
Yes. Multiple times. She said that the bed was just, like, covered in, like, blood and everything else. Afterwards, she kind of just, like, curled up into a ball. And he was like crying to her. He was like, my life is so hard. You don't understand. My wife left me. He's like, I used to beat her, but she had enough of it and she left me and I just want somebody to stay. And I was molested as a kid and nobody did anything about it. So this is how I get my anger out now. And I can't help it. I don't want to have to be this way, but this is how I am. And she's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care.
She's right. Like, why would she be sympathetic towards that?
Right. She's like, just let me go then. Like, I want to get my son back. And he starts standing up. He reaches in his pocket, grabs his wallet out, grabs a couple $1 bills, throws them on the bed and says, that's for your services.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
So she was baffled. She's like, I'm not a prostitute. Like, you kidnapped me. And I told you I was looking for an appointment for my son.
Right. And so, now she's days missing her son and nobody knows where she's at.
He starts going through her purse and he finds her wallet and he's like, are you 21? And she's like, yes, I told you that. I'm literally trying to get my son back. And he's like, well, I thought you were a teenager. I thought you were much younger than this.
Ew.
Right.
That's nasty.
I'm saying. So he told her that she would be there until Christmas because he really just needed a companion to stay with him.
No way. She's
like, not my problem. Go find a girlfriend. And he's like, I can't. I can't get people to stay because I start beating them and they don't stay. And she's like, okay, well then go to count. Like, not my problem, dude. Not my right. problem.
I need my kid.
And he switches the sob story back to the angry, crazy guy. He drags her all the way through the house, down the stairs.
Oh my gosh.
Through the house, to the basement stairs, drags her down the basement stairs. And she's just sitting there. And he's like, get up against the pole. So she scooches up against the pole. He takes 2 8-foot chains, wraps them both around her 4 times to the pole.
She should have just left with the dollars.
She couldn't. He was blocking the door.
Oh, well, I guess I missed that part.
Yeah. So wraps the chains around her 4 times, and she couldn't move. Like, she couldn't even move an inch. She actually ends up getting her hand free at one point, but it was like a day later she did that. So after he's got her all tied up with these chains, he put a motorcycle helmet over her head.
Okay.
Which, are they super insulated?
I mean, I'd say they're insulated, yeah.
Okay, so he put a motorcycle helmet over her head. She said, because she said she had a hard time breathing with the chains and the motorcycle helmet.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. She's probably feeling claustrophobic.
Blasted the radio again and said, I'll be back. And left.
Okay.
So she's chained up again, sitting on the ground, chained up to a pole, the motorcycle helmet on her head. And he's like, I'll be back. Last time he said that, he was gone for a day and a half.
Right.
She can't even move. Like, she can't even, if she has a scratch, you know, nothing. She can't adjust herself, fix herself, soothe herself, nothing. And that is where we are ending part one.
Wow. I just feel like you really set me up for failure here. I just want you to know.
Why?
Because you started off all these podcasts and they were like these cases that were kind of weird, but it wasn't bad. And the last couple have just been disgusting. Like, this is so gross.
Well, I wanted to ease you in without terrifying you.
Well, now I'm terrified. I'm having like nightmares. Even in real life, like, I see stuff popping up and then I'm like instantly trying to come up with the story as to why it happened.
I know. Your mind is going true crime a lot more. Like, it's not like that all the time.
It definitely feels like it's like that all the time. Just yeah. Because of all these stories.
I'm sorry. So I'll just give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. He does end up abducting 2 more women, which we'll get into in the next part. And he ends up keeping them for he keeps Michelle. So like from beginning to end, she's there for 11 years. So there's a lot more.
So her kid's like a teenager by the time. Oh my gosh.
There's a lot more we're going to get into next part.
I'm already about to throw up again.
Yeah. He's a piece of work.
Ariel That's so Castro. Funny. I was about to say he's a piece of work.
Yeah, he is.
Wait, his name's Angel?
Ariel Castro.
Or Ariel? His name is Ariel?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of a guy's name is Ariel. I thought her friend's name was Ariel.
No, her friend's name is Emily.
Oh.
Which is his daughter.
That makes more sense now.
So, so that's part one. Now we're going to turn it over to Curtis's conspiracy corner.
The best part. I don't know how I'm going to be able to compete with...
The more lighthearted part, in my opinion.
Today, it's definitely way more lighthearted than that.
Well, because sometimes true crime... Well, okay, so true crime is always, like, true. But conspiracy theories are not always. They can, you know, they're either true or they're not true.
Right? Sure.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay. So, this is actually one of the most famous conspiracy theories ever. And I never heard of it until yesterday.
Okay. Doesn't sound too famous, then.
It's about a ball.
A ball?
A ball.
B-A-L-L?
Yes. Have you heard of the Betz mystery sphere?
The Betz mystery
sphere? The Betz. B-E-T-Z.
No.
Okay, so it's their last name. So this family back in 1974, there was a giant fire. Okay. Their house burns down, everything. And they like don't know what to do. So the dad goes back like trying to find answers. And there's like this bush that had like caught on fire. And in it, he finds this metallic sphere. That's like just smaller than a bowling ball, okay?
Okay.
Just finds it. And it's the weirdest thing because everything around it has corrosion from the fire, and everything, like, you know, in that area is completely destroyed, but the ball is like immaculate, like this metal perfect, like silver sphere. I'm picturing
like a bigger version of like the little snitch ball.
Kinda.
In Harry Potter. That's what I'm picturing.
So this is the ball.
Nope, that's not what I was picturing at all.
Okay, so we'll have to put that on the Instagram so people can see it, which I don't know what you're going to post pictures on for yours, because, ew.
Probably pictures of Michelle. A McDonald's
breakfast sandwich? Like,
no.
Right.
No, no, no.
Some electrical cords? Like, oh my gosh, that story is nasty.
Oh my gosh, Curtis.
So, anyways, so the story starts getting, like, really weird. So they bring it in their house, in their new house, okay. Wherever they're staying at. I didn't catch where they're staying at. So they bring it in the house, and it's just, like, chilling there. Well, one day, one of their kids goes over and starts playing guitar. And the ball reacts to the guitar sounds.
Ball reacts.
Yes, the ball's reacting, and it makes a throbbing sound coming out of it. And it's, like, a high-pitched frequency, and it's freaking their dog out. Okay?
Okay, so is this a conspiracy theory, or is this a paranormal?
A little bit of both, I guess.
This sounds scary. Okay, keep going.
Good. Maybe I can keep up with your nasty. Ugh. Oh my gosh. So, anyways, this ball is exactly 8 pounds.
Like a human head.
Is a human head eight pounds?
Yeah, on average.
How do you know that?
Science.
Ew. Okay. So now that the family sees that this is reacting to the guitar, they think something's up.
Like,
because they think that there could be something in it, so they're like playing on the guitar, but it's really high pitched, so they don't know what to do. So they put it on the floor, and the ball just starts rolling.
So if they stop playing, does it stop making the noise?
Yes.
And is it solid metal, do they think?
They don't know.
Okay, just wondering.
That gets later into this. So then they put it on the floor, and it just starts rolling.
Okay.
And then they notice that it also reacts to sunlight, direct sunlight. It starts vibrating again.
It's a vampire ball.
What?
It's a vampire ball.
It reacted to a guitar. No, it's not a vampire ball. They're starting to think that this is some sort of alien, like it fell from the sky and started the fire. Like, okay. The ball destroyed, like, everything around their family. So they're, like, hitting it with hammers, and it's making, like, weird noises. So they decide that they're going to go get this ball tested. Now, it gets interesting. So they have scientists who look at it and say that they've never seen the ball before.
They don't even know what it is? Like, nope. What kind of metal?
No idea.
Okay.
So then they took it and they saw the solar radiations. Then they found out after getting it tested again at a research firm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that they found that there was radio waves coming out of the ball.
It's radioactive?
Well, it didn't say it was radioactive, but there's radio waves coming out of it.
So it's sending a signal.
Yes. And that there's a magnetic field around it as well.
What year was this?
1974.
And where?
I think it was Baton Rouge.
That's what okay.
Well, that's where they were just at. Let me see. It doesn't say anything about where their house was at.
It's Louisiana.
I'm going to assume it was Louisiana because that's where they took it to a research facility.
Okay, so maybe I'm jumping ahead, but we got like more tests now. Is it still around?
I'm sure it's still around, but I'm going to tell you where this gets interesting.
Okay.
So then they decide, because they can't figure out anything else about it. Okay. So they go to the U.S. Navy, which has a lot of technology where they can try to find out what's going on. So the Navy x-rays the ball, trying to see if they can find out like what's inside of it.
Well, I would have probably done that in the first place.
Their machine wasn't strong enough to penetrate the steel.
Oh.
The United States Navy. So now they're just saying that they can't see anything with the globe. So they're trying to figure out like what it's manufactured by or what's going on. So it gets into the newspaper, right? Like, this is a big deal because they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So they put it in there and it's in the newspaper and they're trying to figure out if it's like an alien artifact or a doomsday device. And a business owner.
A doomsday device.
Okay. Yeah. So a business owner, well, the president of the company, Robert Edwards, who was shown a reporter at Bell and Howell that the stainless ball was 8 inches across and weighed over 21 pounds.
That was 8 pounds.
That's what I just... Oh, it's 8 inches. Whoa, hold on.
Technical difficulties.
That's weird, because in the beginning of the article, it says it's 8 pounds, but now it's saying it's 21 pounds and 8 inches across, thriving. So it must be a typo.
Oh, I was going to say,
I'm assuming it was a typo. And so, this is a quote directly from the president, Robert Edwards. Uh-huh. I'm not saying that this thing didn't come from outer space, because I've never seen it. All I'm saying is that the physical description of it matches the exact type of ball that we have in stock. So he doesn't examine it or anything. He has, like, these globe valves. And it starts getting, like, weird into the conspiracy. And so I don't know if the family still has the ball. I didn't see that. But experts also came in and said that their house was slightly tilted that they were at, which would explain why the ball was rolling. Uh-huh. Because their floors weren't level. And they're basically saying that this ball came from a globe valve.
What's a globe valve?
A globe valve is where you, like, open up the valve and it can, like, shift. So there's a ball in there and it can determine, like, how much, like, say water, for instance, right? Uh-huh. So, like, so much water can come up by where the level of the ball's at.
Nope.
So when you turn the valve, the ball will go up or down and allow more water in there.
I'm not picturing. You're literally talking to me in a different language right now. I can't even picture that.
I guess you could say I know a thing about a valve or two. I mean, that was like my main job.
About a ball or two.
I guess that too. Wow.
No. So wait. That doesn't explain the frequencies. That doesn't explain it having radio waves. And that doesn't explain how it didn't get damaged in the fire. And it doesn't explain why the dog acted weird to it.
And to this day,
dogs really do know stuff sometimes.
To this day. There's still no explanation for any of that.
Doesn't even sound like they know where it's at anymore.
We're talking 50 years later. I didn't see where it was still at. But 50 years later, there's still nothing confirmed. And so this is being brought back up, like, today. They are talking about it. I'm about to look up where it's at.
Right now. Hold on, everybody. We're going to get an update. A live update. All right, live update.
Okay, so interestingly enough, all it says is its last location. There's an interactive map that keeps track of it. It's currently in Jacksonville, Florida. And another interesting part that I found in this article from orangesmile.com states that American UFO researchers have said that it is not an alien artifact, that the ball is possessed by a poltergeist in which they ran rampant on the Betts farm in the late 1970s.
Poltergeist is...
Interestingly enough.
Poltergeist?
Yes. And on that note, I think we're going to have to end the podcast because somebody's ready to come downstairs.
Yeah, our kids are upstairs right now. So we don't normally record during the day anymore. We just only record at night. And today we're recording during the day, during nap time, but it seems like nap time is over, so.
I'd also like to apologize for Ashley's non-punctualness.
Okay. This week it was partially my fault. But Curtis is also to blame.
Wow.
But that's okay. So anyways, if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram and see pictures of this creepy ball. At Partners in Crime, the podcast. And you got anything else to add?
That's on Instagram, by the way. She left that out. No, I just want to let you all know I'm really not looking forward to part 2 because, ew.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough one. This is a rough one.
I know. I feel sick.
Okay. Anyways. All right.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
See you later. Goodbye.